Hello and welcome to my podcast. It's Learn Reiki and Connect, and it's with me, Tracy Matthews. So we're continuing our theme. We're getting answers from our higher self, and this is part three, and it's all about hypnosis and meditation. So a warm welcome, everybody, and I hope you're well, and I hope your week has been going good, and you're now just ready to settle in and just to tune in and just listen to some of the things that we're talking about, because this space is really about helping each other out to connect with that light within, that energy, that all-knowing, expansive part of ourselves. And you know what? This is what I've noticed. This part communicates with us. It can get our attention. It's more than the mind. That thinking part, it's that subtle intuitive part. And if we listen to that part, you know, it helps us out. And that's why we are continuing this theme and for this week of podcast. Because people ask this all the time, how do we get the answers from within? How do we get answers from the higher self? And that's really why I really kind of want to talk about this. That's why I broke it down, because we looked at different ways that we can do it. And, you know, this is what's my experience have been. You know, part one, we looked at how do we access the answers, and we were using something really specific, and that was the pendulum, or another word for that is dowsing. Do you know what? It's a tool, and it's an effective way to get answers from the higher self. For me personally, I use it in my everyday life, and that's asking questions when I feel stuck, when I kind of feel like I've hit a bit of a roadblock, or I don't feel right. Another time I will use it if I sense that my higher self wants me to know something. Maybe this is something you found with using the pendulum. And you know what? There was more. Because last week we looked at hypnosis, that waking state of awareness. And yes, we talked about that we were awake, and just how those states of alpha and theta, that dreamlike focus state and the pictures of the mind. And we looked at that and we explored Dolores Cannon and my experience of just how that sort of all transpired for me, and how it all worked out, and how I got into hypnosis. And I think we started to get a sense this is something we already do, these frequencies, that we are becoming more aware of that. And so we're just going to be looking at this week's, we're talking about self-hypnosis meditation, how to recognize those hypnotic states and how to use that frequency to meditate. So stick around, don't go anywhere, stay with me, and hit that subscribe button and just join me every week so that we can do this together. So if I may, I'd like to share my experience. Now this is when the first time I put somebody into hypnosis, that hypnotic state. And as some of you will know that when you're learning something like this, there's a lot of theories, a lot of reading material and assignments, and then you get to like the practical case studies, and this is a time where we sort of put it all into action and we have a go. And I had my very first volunteer was quite analytical. She was quite cognizant and she uses her brain and her work. In other words, she sort of sits in that analytical, and she really sort of has a tendency, as she was discussing with me, to get overwhelmed. She finds herself quite stressed at work. She used, you know, expressions like my brain's full, and she's often in overload. And maybe that is something that you can identify, where you feel so exhausted that you don't have any sort of brain capacity left. So we were talking about this, and you know, we were also referring to other sort of benefits that she was using at the time, going out for walks, running, and that really helps her in order to free up her brain. Now, I thought that was quite interesting. Also, one of the things of being in nature. So we got to the point where we sort of established that her coping mechanism, when she's in her stressful overwhelm, that she goes into that fight mode. You know, that fight of just battling through it. And she finds it exhaustive, just battling all the time. And I think this is really important for us all, because it's actually identifying or recognising how we each individually react when we are stressed. So how do you react when you are anxious, stressed and feeling low? Because I think that's quite important when we sort of get to know ourselves. And I know this has been a huge part of my journey. How do I react? Now, we know that there is a fight, flight and freeze. But, you know, that fight mode, that's when you're fighting through. There's like a battle on your hand. And most people say that it's exhaustive if that's how they sort of like get through and that's where they're in. Now, the flight, there tends to be a level of avoidance. So you know that you're stressed, but you don't want to look at it. And that's the last thing you want to do. You don't really deal with it. So then you just go off and you're sort of finding other ways to deal with it, but you're constantly in fleeing flight. So maybe that's where you've noticed where you can be. There's the freeze mode where you get overwhelmed. You get completely at a standstill. I call it that you go into the hole, or you become so stuck, you go into paralysis. Do you identify with that? That's me at my worst. And it took me a while to understand me, how I react to stress. Why do I do this? And sort of try to understand, you know, so that I could work myself out of these sort of these frequencies and the energies which we all go into. That might be something that you have maybe tried to sort of find out on your own path. And maybe it's something that you're thinking about now. How do you react when you are feeling stressed? You know, that sometimes there's a physical reaction to it, quite often, where you get hot, you get a little bit uncomfortable. And it's just knowing that, okay, I'm stressed. So what do we do when that happens? What do we do? And that's sort of like where I've been in my own personal journey and how I've been helping others out. So this is something I've observed, like I said, not only in myself, but with working with others. So when we acknowledge that and we see it for what it is, I think this is really quite a powerful part and a turning point in how we sort of like can work through when we're really stressed. Now, my volunteer wanted to be a case study because she wanted to find ways to be more calmer and to really get herself out of a lot of these stress, that fight mode she's in, that anxiety, that full brain and all that kind of stuff that was going on for her. So this is where I use the techniques. And as some of you might know out there, you can use the visualization, you can use the hand, rubbing together, the stare, gaze. And I did all this for her and nothing. Her conscious mind wasn't having any of it. So she kind of got into a resisted mode where she was almost like fighting me. And I kind of looked at that and thought, well, you know, what's going on? Because this is my first sort of like introduction of to hypnosis, where a lot of the time I work with people on a non-verbal. I feel this. You know, there wasn't a vocabulary. The feeling, the intuition was my vocabulary. So this was quite interesting. So after spending a little bit of time trying to get in different ways, one of the ways that I used was rapid induction. And for those of you that have know a little about hypnosis, or you've maybe done that, you'll know what that is. And for her, it worked. And there was the point. I just sat there and I couldn't believe what I was feeling. Because it was the same frequency of meditation. You know, it was the same frequency of holding space during a Reiki session. And I was like, wow, this is beautiful. But this is done through hypnosis. And I just thought that was incredible. Now, this was my very first experience of using the hypnosis technique. And I have done many now over the years. And it's really incredible. I love sitting with somebody and just sometimes dealing with the conscious mind. The conscious mind wanting to be a little bit more sort of protective. Conscious mind can come in through many ways. But once we bypass that, it's beautiful. And it's just, you know, a way in which we can get our truth, get that energy and frequency from the deeper parts of the mind, the subconscious. And ever since then, I have to admit, my path or my journey has got me thinking about just the hypnotic state. I mean, it's really blown my mind of what we already have. We've already got this within us. You know, half the time, we're just trying to find a way to tune in. So that's why I wanted to focus on this self-hypnotic meditative state. Because you know what? It's all in you. It's in all of us. You know, how do we get answers from the higher self? Well, this is what we're talking about in this part three, using that self-hypnotic meditative state, which is really incredible. And this is, and I'm going to go back to it because I said it last time. This is when you sort of look at that, look at this from different angles, but you get to the same truth, which I always find really incredible. And that's why I work with these modalities, because it's really essentially getting to that part, that energetic, that intuition, that white light, the higher self, the soul. It is really incredible. So that really sort of kind of brings us to that next part of the question. And I think this is really key, because this is where I think where a lot of us sit, is how do you recognize that hypnotic state? And if you've been following along in the podcast, I talk about it a lot. I talk about the frequencies. I talk about it so that people understand it, because we think hypnosis or Reiki or whatever, especially trying to get answers from our higher self, that it's something that we've got to do that's huge, or we've got to sort of do a great big course in order to get. I mean, a course can help us, but actually it's already there. So sometimes all a course can do, or we go and learn something, it just facilitates what's already within us. So I always think it's really handy to sort of, you know, when we're talking about this hypnotic state, I think it's important to understand and answer that by establishing what the hypnotic state isn't, so that we can really sort of see this in our lives. Because it's not when we're stressed out. It's not when we're in that frequency of stress, anxious and low vibration. Why? because we are in a reactive, preoccupied state of surviving. Whether that's a level of, you know, threat or avoidance, you know, like going back to that fight, flight, fighting, or in that freeze mode, it's too reactive. So if that's not it, then what's the next step down in that frequency? And that's where we get into beta. Beta is the active, busy state of mind. It's what we need to go in when we're at work. It's how we get stuff done. So it's a busier mind. So it's not so reactive, it's not so stressed when we're fighting something or freezing or fleeing, but it's more of getting things done. So then that then leaves our alpha and our theta. And you've heard me mentioning that quite a lot of these frequencies. So now that we're entering these frequencies, when we're talking about alpha, theta, and you hear me talking about all the time, there are many different ways that we can go into that, which many times we're not cognizant, we're not conscious of what that is. And so that brings us to the question, you know, are you aware when you go into alpha? So are you aware when you go into alpha? I'll let you just sit and have a little think about that for a moment. The other question is, and this comes up a lot in the one-to-one teaching courses, what do you think alpha looks like? So that's quite an interesting one, that. So let's go back to that first one where you might like to ask yourself that question. Are you aware when you go into alpha? You know, there's those times where you feel calm. You feel present. This is a present moment. Nothing's worrying you. Nothing's bugging you. Nothing's on you, sort of causing you to feel overwhelmed. The conscious mind isn't even loud. And it's there, an inner voice. And quite often there's that intuitive, reflective mode that will come in, where you maybe feel, sense, or know. You know, it's that lightness, that flow of energy. And I think the question after this is, when does that happen for you? What are you doing? And that's not what I'm talking about in a meditative state, but when you're just in your everyday life. Now this can pose a bit of a realization, if you like, because that might mean that there's not many of these moments for you. And it might mean that you become a little bit more aware. There's that shift now in you where you go, oh, I'm actually sitting in the fighting mode. I'm actually trying to avoid. I'm freezing. And if that's going on for you, that's a good way to sort of realize the state that perhaps we're in. Maybe you're in a busy job. Maybe that is what you do, and we sit in our jobs for 8 to 9 hours. That's a lot of time to be in a fighting mode, to be stressed and anxious. And when we get home from work, well, all we need to do is flake out. Maybe you're exhausted physically. There's no time to do anything. You're just in that exhausted state. You're tired, you feel broken up. And I know what that feels like. We all get there. You know, it's one of those things of life, busy life, where we've got to sort of work. So when we go into those alpha states, okay, we might have established that it might be a lot, or perhaps you're beginning to aware, yes, that is when I'm doing my ironing. Because this is everyday life. For some, they might like to iron. For me, that is not an alpha state. I don't like ironing. So, but you get what I mean. We need to find those times. Maybe it is when you sit and have that coffee and you just think. And I use the coffee one because I like that. You know, we all go to a coffee place or we sit and we just have that moment. We might just sit there. We'll find we ponder. And after we've looked over some bits, we're in that sort of frequency. It might be when you're out and you're walking. It might be when you've got your pet, your cat on your lap and it's just stroking, they're purring. When you're with your little one. So I think you would get the what we're saying. It's really those moments in our lives where we're not worried. We're very present. We might even feel very calm, relaxed. And there's an inner happiness, an inner knowing. Those moments are really precious. I've got to a point where when those moments happen, I don't really want to interrupt them, but I just want to acknowledge it. So I tend to say to myself, when I'm just present and I feel good and it's wonderful. It might be even when you're with friends or you're cracking open some bubbly or you're out, you know, whatever it is, because we're talking about real life here. I just say to myself, I'm happy and I'm present and I'm enjoying this. And it's really beautiful because it's when you're in those moments that you find them when you're in your meditation. And you might be agreeing with me on that, or maybe you've not sort of connected the two. So I'd encourage you to keep on finding those times when that happens for you, where there's just a flow of energy, there's an intuitive feel. Just take stock of what you're doing. It might be the things that make you feel happy. And versus the things that don't make you feel happy, when maybe it is for you at stress. Now, a lot of people, a lot of clients, when they're coming, their work is exhausting them. They're everything but in, you know, a happy state. And when they're literally finishing work, they are trying to sort of cope with going to work the next time. Now, the other thing as well, on the same vein, but slightly different, I see this a lot. And that other question to ask yourself, what do you think alpha looks like? Because this is where we have the preconceived thoughts. And you know what? I did it too. Sometimes we think this should happen. Or we think we should be knocked out when you're meditating. You see things. You're in an outer body. You know, you're in the universe somewhere. You know, I kind of thought I should be seeing something. I don't know where that came from. That I thought I should be seeing things in meditation. Well, in actual fact, if I saw something, I would have been freaked out. I've had many a client have had a preconceived thing that we had to sort of work through. When in actual fact, when we sit and tuned into what is ours, it's so different. Now, for example, I had this thing where I wanted to see when I first started meditating. I'm not sure where that came from. So it kind of blocked me a little bit because I thought I should be seeing stuff. Until I realised I feel everything around me. And when I started to feel, then the pictures came. But they didn't come the way I thought they would come. I would feel, see. And if there's those of you that understand that, you might be sort of nodding your head and you know that actually that's the way I feel. That's the way I see. I feel see a picture. I get a snapshot in my mind. And that is just something that I've realised. And I've tried to sort of, you know, over the years, I've developed and tuned into energy. And it's really incredible. But in terms of what alpha or this meditative state should feel like, I actually had to sort of let go of all of that and focused in on what was going on for me. And that's really quite incredible. When you start to focus in on your actual experience of your own hypnotic and meditative state, it's so much more down to earth. So much more grounding, tuning in a way that's very personal to you. You know, and this has happened a lot one-to-one when I'm with clients where they reveal and think, well, I thought it would be this. Actually, I know this feeling. I know this. And this is really beautiful because when we start to realize this is all within us and this is the frequencies that we go to, then meditation doesn't become a thing that we've got to do. It becomes a thing that we become and that we basically tune into. So whilst it's amazing to have those experiences of seeing and having these outer body experiences, and you can have them, they are wonderful, they can be really beautiful, most of the time, meditation is grounding. It's helping us with the life, the experiences of dealing with those around us. And, you know, with traumatic experiences that perhaps you might have had. Helping you to deal with those moments where we don't feel so happy, that we feel stressed. It's actually a very down-to-earth way of working through really why we're here, our path, our purpose. It's helping us to sort of not necessarily escape, which sometimes that can be, and I was that happened to me. I find that I wanted to sort of not be here. I wanted to get out. But in actual fact, it's a very practical way in where we can actually deal with what's going on, getting answers from that part, listening to the inner voice, that intuition that can help us in a really practical way. So going into a hypnotic meditative state is something we go into all the time. It's just that we might not realize. And I know this is something that has got me thinking ever since I've been really working with hypnosis. It's an incredible way in which we can sort of use that mind frequency to become calm. You know, and this is when I was talking about the very first time and I was working with that volunteer. That volunteer has really made incredible steps in self-hypnosis and meditative state because she's begun to realize and recognize. And so for her, she has been using that in her walks, going out, doing challenges, you know, of doing so many steps. And helping her to work through that stressful work scenario so that she can use those times in her own time and going out quite often in her lunch break. And of course, that just means that we've got to have that, you know, the setup where we can go and take that time out and go and walk. But it's really powerful that we are able to use this self hypnotic state, this meditative state, which is the same frequency. And that's what got me. That's where it's one of those mouth drop open moments where I was like, wow, this is incredible. So really looking at our final question when we were talking, looking at is how to use that frequency to meditate. Well, the simple answer is by developing a routine. It's using those moments to put ourselves, sometimes consciously, into a meditative state, or to do more of the things that put us into that meditative state. And for that, you might need to take a look at what it is that you're doing and when that happens for you. And maybe looking at what is actually going on for you rather than looking at what you think is going to happen. Because this is what really can help us. This is really key. This is where we start owning our own stuff. And it's quite interesting because from experience, you know, using that meditative state, or for example, if we've gone on a Reiki course and we start on our 21 meditation self-healing, that's the hardest thing that comes next. It's actually doing it. Putting in that sort of discipline where we sort of use that meditative sort of state to, and then start finding that time and putting it in. And the reason for that is because we're busy. And in our world, it's focused on not helping us out with that. It's all about distractions. Have you noticed that? You know, just trying to sit there and just focus and doing something, you get distracted. If it's not the phone, it's, you know, something else. Or we think we need to be sort of like shoot off and do that. It's almost like sitting in that space, in that meditative, self-hypnotic frequency can sometimes be the very thing that is hard to do. But that's the very thing that when we start using that frequency and understanding that and going into our meditative state is the very thing that's going to help us out. And this is something that really I wanted to help people with. I wanted to help people to use that by doing a little bit of meditation every day. And especially, you know, if you've done a Reiki course, like I said, this can be very challenging. I noticed with myself, especially when I first did my level one, it was like a real, not a chore, but it was like a chore trying to find that time where I could do it. And then I begin to realize, well, this is not going to find, the time's not going to find me. I need to find the time. So I have put together a 21-day meditation challenge, because this is more conducive to hearing and receiving answers from our higher self. So this 21 days meditation challenge, you literally start with me at day one, and we just follow on every day. Now, how this works is that you'll see me at the beginning of the meditation every day, giving you tips on how to work through the mind monkeys and all the other stuff that comes along when we're trying to find the time, trying to do this. And then we switch out from the visual and go straight into the audio. Now that audio is like 20 minute one, and then I sit around at quite a lot of the each day at the 30 minute mark just to get us into that. And then near the end, a couple of ones that are going to be an hour where we've got ourselves into that routine. Because what I have found with the self-hypnotic meditative state. Although we go into that, and that's at frequencies, trying to learn when it's best for us and trying to do, you know, to recognize it so that we understand that for ourselves. There is real power in when we take that bit of time out and then we put ourselves into our meditative state. And that's really what this is all about. And this is why I really wanted to focus part three, just to bring this up. And if you want a little bit more information around this, you might want to listen to the podcast, Can't Meditate, Try This, where I just go into it a little bit more and how, what is around the Can't Meditate, and where we just look at that. And I talk about that a little bit more in depth. But you know what? If you're sort of on that bit now where you know, we know meditation is good and it's free. It's just something that we can do. The challenge really is get going and starting it. So check out and have a look on YouTube, the 21 Days Meditation Challenge, where every day we can do it together. We can start out, you'll see me, then the switch out, like I said, we go straight into the audio and into that meditation, where we can just use that time period to really sit in our own space. Know what it feels like. Not what we think alpha should be, but actually what it is for you and how you do that. And how that frequency is really about us recognizing, oh, that's the same feeling when I do this. That's the same feeling when I do that. And then we start owning our frequency. We start owning ourselves, not in what we think it should be, but just how it really is. And like I always say, this is so powerful, because this is where we can hear our true self, our inner voice, because that's the thing that's going to help us out in our lives. That's the part of us that navigates us, that knows why we're here and how we can really work the best version of ourselves, how to cope with whatever's going on for us, whatever difficulties. So I hope you will join me on the 21 Days Meditation Challenge. And the challenge is really getting this down. It's always going to be doing it, starting it off, getting it going. So if you'd like to do that, then join me on YouTube. So make sure you don't miss that. And I'll put the link in below so that you can follow on that. And I'll see you then. So I really hope this has helped. I really hope that this is just, again, just to reinforce. This is a very powerful way. It's something that's in us, but it's something which we can use that will help us to get answers from that part of us, and how we can move through our difficulties, our challenges, and how we can get to know what we're here to do, our path and our purpose. So I hope to see you on and be with you on YouTube, and I hope this has been of some assistance on your path right now. So please hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the next podcasts. And like I said, you can find me on YouTube, Spotify, and I'm listed on other platforms. Please do check out the website at learnreikiconnect.co.uk, where you'll just find out all the good stuff there, the home learning, online Reiki, or maybe you want to work with me over Skype. Or maybe it is the QHHT hypnosis or the Akashic Records. So just take a look at that and see what is there that might be of some assistance to you. Or maybe it's about the art of dowsing and the workshop there. Whatever it is, I'm here to help. And let's do this together. So until next time, look after yourself, do take care, and bye for now.